Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hi, everyone. Anyone do anything interesting recently?
No, not really.
I actually went to the movies.
You went to a movie?
I went to a movie.
Yeah, how was it?
Amaze.
Hmm. Yay!
Okay, listen. This is not a movie podcast. No one's ever said that about this show. Roll it. And welcome to another popcorn buttery episode of 12 Points from America, the first alphabetically and therefore best Eurovision podcast. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Danny.
Yay.
Yay.
Welcome to episode 4 of our previews. This won't make any sense unless you've listened to the first 3. You got to know the continuity.
Got to get up on the lore.
You got to watch Troll 1 before you see Troll 2. Movie podcast. That's right. It was a joke. All right. We got 6 more songs this week. Do we want to just jump right into it?
What do we got this week? Someone read the list.
Yeah. All right. So this week we do have a good list. We got Cyprus. We got Estonia. We got Lithuania, Italy, France, and Georgia. So nice variety all over the continent. We got a bunch of different genres. It's a good time. Should we just jump right into it, or should
sometimes we have 4 genres in one song? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That is really fair.
We should maybe cover a couple of tidbits, I think, since the last time that we've recorded. Maybe we received the running orders. For those of you who are on our Patreon, you might have heard some of our hot takes on that.
Join the Patreon. And it's in video. So you get to see what I look like.
That's right. I'm sorry.
This is my wife. Oh.
Take her, please.
Oh, wow. Well, you're stuck with that now.
Anyway, yeah. Sizzling hot takes on the running order with our faces in their full glory. And we also got some news about Eurovision Asia.
Yeah, it's official. It's been long rumored, long hoped for. Bhutan kind of, put the cart before the horse or kind of gave away stuff too early. But now it's official. Eurovision Asia is actually happening this November over in Bangkok, Thailand. 10 countries confirmed so far. And I think a lot of people are wondering who's going to be the Sweden of Asia. And is it
is it just South Korea?
Is it South Korea?
I was going to say Korea, and then I was like, oh, I forget. What is North Korea going to participate? Yeah.
Well, I hope they do. United by Music, right? Yeah. United by Music. So it's fine.
The thing is, Philippines, I wouldn't count them out.
Sure.
In terms of sheer vocal prowess, I think that, South Korea could be the Sweden, but I think the Philippines could be the France.
Never mind.
I got my money on Tonga.
Who's going to be the United Kingdom of Asia?
Oh.
Ooh.
The contest whipping boy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or so the San Marino of Asia. I don't know. Is Bhutan going to be the San Marino of Asia?
Bhutan might be the San Marino of Asia.
That kind of makes sense.
Singapore.
You know, small country up in the mountains doing its own thing. I'm up for it. But, we're just going to have to watch every single episode of Druk Dra, the Bhutanese national final.
Hell yeah. Which one of us is going to Thailand to cover this, by the way? I'll do it.
I've already been.
Yeah. Derek, what do you think?
I'm not allowed back into Thailand.
Ah,
I was going to say, finally, an excuse for some of us to go to Thailand without getting put on lists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have any of us insulted the king? Because I think that's a big thing over there.
Oh, that is a felony.
That is absolutely a felony.
Fun fact, if you go see a movie in Thailand, you have to stand for the however long video dedicated to the king that starts before every movie.
Really?
I did not. And I was wondering, why the hell is everyone standing?
Well,
is that what got you on the list?
No, I stood up eventually when I was like, I probably should be standing.
Or yeah, it seems like if everyone else is, you should probably. What movie was it?
The Dark Knight.
Sick.
Oh, I know, right? The Dark Knight comes to Thailand.
Like Thai subtitles, or did they dub it?
Sometimes I'm going to watch it dubbed.
I would. That sounds amazing.
Why is Harvey remember Dent when I went so to upset? See a 2.5 hour movie that did a dub in a foreign country. Yeah. All right, movie podcast.
Movie podcast. So which movie are we reviewing first today?
I guess we're going to be starting with The Cyprus Job, I suppose.
The Cypriot Job?
The Cypriot Job.
I like it.
All right.
Love it. Yeah, so let's hear a little snippet of Jala by Cyprus's Antigone.
All right, movie podcast listeners, that was Antigone from Cyprus, aka How Green Was My Zone. And
wow,
Sam, you should probably just
Somebody's not going to be allowed into Cyprus anytime soon, man. Really,
I do love the podcast's continuing tradition of not ingratiating ourselves to every single country
on that continent.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity lampooning.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, so that was Jala by Antigone, or Antigone, if you want to be all Greek about it, representing Cyprus this year. Jala meaning more in Cypriot Greek. So Antigone is London-born. Her full name is actually Antigone Buxton. She's the daughter of a TV host and author specializing in Greek cuisine and culture, named Tonia Buxton. Antigone appeared on Love Island back in 2022 and has released a handful of singles, opening for Eleni Ferreira. She was also a backing vocalist on Marina Sati's tour recently. And now that we have our running order, I can confirm she will be in spot number 8 in semifinal 2. Liz, why don't you start us off on Antigone's? Should we just decide now, is it Antigone or Antigone?
I'm calling her Antigone because that's
Antigone.
Yeah.
All right.
Antigone.
That's right. Yeah.
To keep your guns away, you get Antigone. Anyway, Antigone, Cyprus, what do you think?
You know, this is a perfectly serviceable song. I don't know that I have a ton to say that is enlightening on this. You know, it's a nice kind of ethno bop. Nice to hear on the club, something you can dance to. There's not anything in my mind that's especially memorable about this. Seems kind of fluffy. Kind of feels like a fuego. So when you said that she had connections to Eleni, that makes a lot of sense because I get kind of that vibe. I mean, I don't know how this is. This is probably a middle of the table, if it qualifies, which I don't know, it could be questionable, but we haven't seen any vocals, as far as I know, that are live. We've only seen the official video. So I don't know how she does live. And I can only assume that this will be just a dance-heavy sort of staging with a lot of fire. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's anything groundbreaking. I don't dislike it, but I also, you know, Honey, what about you?
First of all, I'd like to apologize to the great nation of Cyprus for my stupid joke. It was funny though. So I don't know. My first reaction to seeing this, and this is a music video thing, not a song thing, is that's the same hotel lobby that Liar was filmed in. And it makes me concerned for how many hotels Cyprus has. If they just have the one, that seems bad. They should get more. Sam, over to you.
All right, good to know. All right.
I have a little more.
All right.
it doesn't do a ton for me. Like it switches between different things in a way that's kind of interesting, but it doesn't really build the way that a lot of good pop songs do, like Sweden, for instance. It feels a little bit flat to me sonically. Even when the style kind of mixes in different things. It feels like it's missing something. And so maybe just it'll come down. Maybe, that's kind of what we thought about Fuego. And then we saw it on stage, right? So, I think the staging could elevate this a lot, probably. I'm just not sure that the song is that good. You said that she opened for Eleni Ferreira?
Yes.
How could they tell? Sam, over to you.
Daughter. Wow. Yikes.
Only because you mentioned staging, I just wanted to point out Sasha John Baptiste is doing the staging for
this one,
who we haven't seen since 2023.
Huh.
Interesting.
When she directed Tattoo.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she has been.
Oh, okay. Well, color me a little more intrigued then, but it's not because of the song, which is what the contest is about. So I guess we'll see.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. You do not get to say that after some of that other shit you said.
Why not?
Fight, 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 fight.
Sam, over to you.
Hi. Oh. No, I mean, my thoughts are pretty similar. This is, it's light, it's fluffy, it's enjoyable. This is going to be played poolside at every single resort from Limassol to Ayia Napa, and everywhere in between for the next time immemorial.
Where are those places?
They're
Limassol
in Cyprus. And
ayahuasca? Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, Lysol and ayahuasca, yes. Yeah.
Two great tastes that, anyway.
Oh, one is incredibly clean, and the other one we just don't talk about because nobody can remember what's going on. Anyway, yeah, my thought is pretty similar. It doesn't, it's light, it's fluffy, it's super enjoyable. It probably has more Cypriot flavor than a lot of songs that we've seen from Cyprus recently, which I do give it credit for. It's mostly in English, but there are a couple of words in Greek sprinkled in there, which I appreciate. But it doesn't build, it doesn't grow, it doesn't come to a giant explosive finish in the way that Fuego did. But we didn't see that until we actually got to Lisbon and saw everything put together. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was something more that's going to be going on, but the song doesn't really allow for a major vocal belt moment. It's just kind of there. To me, this is cotton candy, but made with what is a Cypriot sweet? Maybe with retsina? I don't know. I don't know.
Who is a Cypriot sweet?
Hey.
Yes.
Go
yes.
on.
Eric, yes. You can only do that Alani if you got someone in your back pocket. Okay. Yeah. But right. You've already mentioned her.
Yeah. No, it's light, it's fluffy, it's fun. It's going to be an interesting contrast now that, again, we can talk about this now that we know the running order. Antigone's going to be performing after Switzerland. And before, it looks like Austria.
Hmm.
So after sort of a downbeat, bluesy kind of rock number, and before another upbeat dance number, but more of the weird techno. Hmm. I don't know if that's good or bad. Danny, what do you think?
As a resident Austria defender, I think it's great for Austria. It's going to stand out as having so much personality in comparison to this, which I don't think has any personality. It is so meh. It is so flat. It is so designed to be piped in while you're shopping. It is so disposable and has no fingerprint. This is bad in the sense of like how a 2-star movie is requires so much more patience to sit through than a 1/2-star movie. It's so unremarkable, and it's not even inept enough to be like hateable. It's just, there's no fingerprint. Like I said, there's no, this is so machine made. This is so just a sugar cookie, you know? At least put a chocolate chip in there. Give me a raisin. Give me some oatmeal. Nothing? Nothing?
Some orange zest.
Some almond extract? God, yeah. Just not interesting at all. Derek, please.
Derek, I heard you were talking shit.
Be my brother. Like, I feel like you and I are thriving off of the same hate this season.
Eric, you didn't hear me. I was muted.
Oh.
This one is, I think Danny really summed it up perfectly. It's that weird, mediocre place that it's just, you're not really entertained by it because it's so good or so bad. It just kind of is like, all right. I think the most frustrating thing about it is, like you all said, it doesn't build to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of plateaus like right from the start, and every time I listen to it, it ends and I'm like, oh right, that was it, that's the song. Which is such a bizarre choice from Cyprus, who at least puts in some effort to kind of have these, you know, that follow that construction. And this one, it just doesn't. And I don't know, they might have something really crazy up their sleeve for staging. I don't know how that's going to save it. I guess
they could always remix.
They could, yeah. I mean, unless they did a remix and they just haven't released it.
I got it. What if she's on a boat in a storm? And it's
for Christ's sake, we're doing this
black
again.
And white.
Or there's a whole conversation we're gonna have about this later, I swear.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm excited.
This episode, it's coming up.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait.
I know. On a boat. Yeah, I like the ethnic vibe. I don't mind that it's a light, breezy, kind of fun dance song. But yeah, it starts and it ends, and I completely forget about it. The one thing I'll note about it is it's 11th in the betting odds right now. When I look online, a lot of people rank this pretty high in their list. And I'm like, what about this excites you?
Is 2026 in that dire of straits? Like, God.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I would put this mid-table. I could see this qualifying pretty easily and then just doing okay. I just compared to other things, but I don't get it. Yeah, I just find it really kind of upsetting that this is the kind of thing that they're sending when they've done so many interesting things in the past and they know they can do better. That's all.
Ah, we all said our piece then on Antigone.
I mean, indeed. We really didn't have anything to say, did we?
Neither did she.
No.
Hey guys, we made it to an Antigone segment without making one Polynices joke. Hey, good job, us.
Good.
Add one more thought, which is just that I did look at the lyrics, and there's so much of just saying more, 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 right?
Jala.
More of what?
More jala.
Like, more jala hits. Shots, everyone. It just sort of, I don't know. What is it more of? I genuinely don't know.
Dancing and hip shaking.
Fine.
I mean, we'll talk about Lithuania. We'll talk about Lithuania later in this episode.
Okay.
He also just wants more. But more of what? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. The hips that don't lie.
Ooh.
Apparently.
There better be some serious dance choreography on stage for this.
Mm-hmm.
Needs it.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. All right.
Let's roll on then.
Indeed.
Roll on.
All right. We're going to head north for the next one as we chat about Estonia. This is Vanilla Ninja and Too Epic to Be True. Let's hear a snippet. Too epic to be true. All right, so that was a little bit of Too Epic to Be True by Vanilla Ninja, representing Estonia this year. They are a returning act. Two members of the band represented Switzerland in 2005 with the song Cool Vibes. They've had a bit of a lineup change since then. Right now, they're a three-piece pop rock band featuring Lena Kurma, Piret Jarvis, and newest member Kervi Kilvaran. I think her older sister was previously part of the band. They've been performing together since 2002, or Vanilla Ninja as an entity anyway. They took part in Estonia's national finals in 2003 and 2007. Lena had tried to represent Estonia as a soloist in 2010, 12, 14, and 17. Kerli tried it in 2019. Piret was a member of another band called Disco 4000, tried it in 2010. They finally reformed, and here they are. The song was written and composed by Sven Lomas, who also wrote other Eurovision classics for Estonia, including Randayad, Rockefeller Street, Verona, and Tänavad, which was a junior song that we all really liked. This is going to be in semifinal number one, in spot number nine. Eric.
Yeah.
Looks like you start us off. What do you think?
I think it's awful.
Well, Sam, okay.
I'm going to dedicate at least some of my time expressing how bad I feel for Ollie, the guy, the sort of metalcore singer that has finished, made it to, I don't know how many super finals at Estilal now. I, It's at least three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Venom, My Friend, and then this most recent one, which was called, I feel so bad I forgot what his song was called. The point is, I don't know if all of you have seen how the voting came down that ended up with this song being the winner. So they went to a three-song super final. It was this, and then Ali, and some other thing.
Days Like This.
Sure.
Yeah.
And and Vanilla Ninja, the winning entry, got 35% of the vote. The other two songs got 32.5% each. I think Ali had the numbers are insanely close. I think he had 13 fewer votes than the second place song. And Vanilla Ninja, who were third in the overall scoring, just beat him to the post by about 1,500 votes.
Not only were they third in the overall scoring before the super final, they were actually tied with the act that came in fourth, which would have been potentially the return of Stig Rasta.
And they just
edged Stig and Victor Krona out, Stockholm Cowboys. They were tied, but it was the public vote that sent Vanilla Ninja through.
Well, Estonia, I hope you're happy with what you've done. We talk about, you know, there are songs that sound retro, and then there are songs that sound dated.
Yeah.
And then there's this song.
All right,
there's a new third thing.
San Marino this year to this, where it was, you know.
God, it's better than the San Marino. I put it ahead of the San Marino song, I'll tell you that. Because it has moments that are kind of fun, kind of. But like, they last competed in 2005, 2006,
yes. 2005. Five.
I feel like this would have felt old then.
Not quite. I'll have things to say.
Yeah, I'm just kind of baffled, and I get that there's a bit of nostalgia factor there, and I don't hate it for that. I just think the song is really bad, and it's gonna stick out like a sore thumb in a contest like the 2026 Eurovision. This show has evolved so much, you know, over the last two decades. To send something like this again, just, I don't understand. And I especially feel bad for Ollie because he's great. Ollie, please, I know you love this show. Don't give up. Keep going. You will get your shot. And when you do, it's going to be awesome. Let your anger fuel your next Estee Lal song about how much you hate Vanilla Ninja. And everyone will be right there with you. Sam, take it away.
I'm really not that far off from where you are. I mean, these are talented musicians and talented singers. I mean, like I said, Lena, Piret, and Carly each have done Estee Lal in other formulations before. Lena in particular, the lead, I guess you could say lead singer, she had probably one of my favorite ballads ever in an Estee Lal, a song called Mina Yen, which was in 2012, I want to say. Really, really gorgeous. Like, she's very, very talented. This song just feels lazy to me. And coming from the pen of the same person who gave us Rendayad, which was absolutely stunning, and Rockefeller Street, which was so fun and bright, this just feels like second gear. And it's a shame, because you know exactly why they won. And it wasn't necessarily because the song was innovative or fun, or it was because they're a big name. I mean, they have a freaking ice cream brand in Estonia. Like, they sell Vanilla Ninja ice cream.
Does it have chunks of real ninja?
Ooh, yeah. Chewy. Yeah,
it's gamey.
Ooh. But yeah, they are a very, very well-known entity. I mean, they've been on the radar of the Estonian music scene for over 20 years now, over, you know, 25 years almost at this point. And it just feels lazy. And I understand that people vote for what they know, and Estonians know and love Vanilla Ninja and the members of it, but the song just doesn't do that legacy justice, and it's really heartbreaking. Can't we just like turn the clock back and I get Nina Yan instead? Because that was really pretty. I'm just left, just like the ice cream, it just leaves me cold.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sam. If I had a time machine, Fixing there are the other things. Major yeah. thing is not the thing I would use it for.
Okay, fair. Maybe on the way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny, you look pensive right now. Are you thinking about ways to eviscerate my argument or ways to eviscerate something else?
I swear to God.
No, I'm going to be relatively restrained and not completely eviscerate her. It's just, I mean, these goyles, these ladies who are just, they're singing. The thing about nostalgia is that it does require removal from time. Like, we all like music that sounds adjacent to this. But, like, there is something that, okay, I'm not going to restrain myself. There's something pathetic about playing this kind of music right now. Like, this is a form of pop rock that was, while not successful, had its rabid fan base. I'm talking about me when I was 25. But that's when I was 25. That is 11 years ago. That's the Obama era, you know? Like, we were so optimistic. We thought that Young the Giant was going to be around forever. This is a style of pop rock. It's up tempo. I'm at a loss for words just because I thought it was so obvious that this kind of music was out of fashion. And that it hasn't been long enough to sort of look back on it with rose-tinted glasses quite yet. Like, I find this beat and this style of music irresistible, but not if it's being produced right now as if, like, that's... It's very uncool. And why does the title suck so much? It's, like, too epic to be true. This is something that this is a phrase that only Elon Musk thinks is still really cool. Like, it's so ancient. It's so in an era that is cringe, not only to the young folks, but to me, to anyone with a brain. It just is unfortunate. We should get a time machine, and the best use is to put put Vanilla Ninja in it. Send them back to 2012 when this would have been really refreshing and cutting edge. But Jesus, it's kind of annoying. Too epic to be true? You might as well say that this song is to Roxors and that it's like Uber, it's an Uber win. Like, oh my God. Estonia, my God. Derek, please.
Oh, man. Go last on this one.
No, you don't.
All right.
Yeah, we still got bullets in the chamber.
Yeah.
For all of them were fooled. There are another review. This song got me thinking about something that Ewan from that other.
I thought you were going to say this song.
Insight. Insight.
I'm joking.
Buying a gun. Like,
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, dude. You okay? Stop. That's not cool.
Anyway, Ewan was doing this thing where he was like retroactively reviewing all the songs in some random order. But he made one that stood out to me was 2011 Serbian song.
Charaban.
Charaban, that's it. I always forget how to pronounce that C.
Love that one.
By Nina. And he said something really interesting about it was it's not from the 70s, but it feels like how you remember the 70s. And I thought that's such an interesting way to look at nostalgia. It's not of the time, it's how you remember it. And this song feels like it's of the 80s, but it's not how I remember it. You know, it doesn't have this Stranger Things kind of fun, warmth, and fondness to it. I don't know how to take this because it feels like such an odd decision to not only like for having it win Estee Lau, but just for the fact that they went with it all at all. Like there would have been a point in the process where they thought, this isn't our strongest work and cool vibes, which I listened to again today. I was like, wow, this song is awesome. And it still holds up. And this one just doesn't. Like, I'm already done with this. The first time I heard it, I was like, I don't ever want to hear this again. Like, let's just move on. This is ranked last in the betting odds, which is surprising because I will say there are songs that are much worse than this.
Wow.
But even still, everyone has just decided absolutely not. Not this song. Not today. Not ever. But, this has no hope.
It's like you want to come back to the contest, but you want to come back to it with something stronger than what you did 21 years ago. It doesn't do it.
Yeah. And it's just, it's one of those artists that they come back just because they can, or they just really want to. They just want to be there. They don't want to necessarily put in the work. And they have such name recognition that they can just kind of strut in and do it, which I think is the exact wrong thing. The fact that they only barely won with 35% of the vote, I think says a lot about kind of what their options were.
A race to the middle.
Yeah. I feel like no matter what they would have picked, we'd probably be disappointed with it. Like, even in a three-way contest, you want, like, someone should run away with it. Somebody should have, like, 70% of the vote if you want a fighting chance at doing well at the contest. If you're, like, middling scores, then it's like, well, even your own people aren't interested.
Yeah, I'm sure there are other examples, but this is the closest super final vote I've ever seen.
I think the Latvian one in 2013.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, 2014. The one that got us Cake to Bake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that one was close.
Yeah, like Cake to Bake over Dons was like a 20 vote margin between first and second.
Oh, those were the Dons.
I just have a question about this. And Sam, you could maybe help me on this. At one point in the song, they play a clip from what I think is an old movie. Where they say their kisses are like dynamite. And I'm like, has anyone ever done this before? And can they actually do that?
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I don't know if they can. Or I don't know what what they would be able to do.
Because I feel like before we had pre-recorded backing vocals, all the vocals would have to be live. But now that they're pre-recorded, they can like throw in a snippet from like some old film.
I kind of assumed it was faked. That it's just like in the style of an old film.
I don't know how like rights would work and things like that. And that's a really good question. I honestly didn't look so closely at their official music video as you did.
Oh, no. It's, I haven't watched the video. It's just, maybe it's just in the Spotify version or something. But whenever I listen to it, like 2/3 of the way through the song, all of a sudden it's this man and this woman talking. And the man is like, your kisses are like dynamite. And she's like, oh, so dramatic.
How dramatic, but do say it again.
Yes, that. That's
sorry, I got the lyrics pulled up here.
Ah. Yeah.
The thrilling lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, from Touch of Evil.
All right. This song's garbage. I can't. The only thing that I can say that's nice about this, I think, is that it makes me feel something, which is disgust. I mean, I wholeheartedly co-signed basically everything that the rest of you said, except I feel like if you had given this, and I'm about to go in the Wayback Machine right now, and probably date myself. I'm looking to see who's old enough to remember some of this stuff and might have had cable at the time. This might be maybe Derek and maybe Sam is a stretch. Anybody remember Kids Incorporated?
Vaguely.
Okay. It's this Disney show with these kids that sang in like an old theater that was originally the Palace and now is called the Place.
Lost an A.
Yes, that's. I mean, that's why they called it.
Is this a show that Fergie was on?
Yes,
as a kid?
Yes, and Martika. If you.
Nope.
Okay. Toy Soldier. No. Okay. Back to the '80s, baby. Or for those who are just slightly younger, the group The Party off the Disney Channel. I'm too old for this.
No, the problem is that I didn't have Disney Channel. I had Nickelodeon. My cable didn't have Disney Channel, so I missed a whole bunch of references as a kid.
So either way, it's like this this pop group formed of kids who are singing about kind of teenager adult things that they really don't. It's like a puppy love thing. But that to me is how this song feels and who it should have been given to perform. Give it to some like early, like tween age Disney person or group that's been like manufactured. And this is the song that you give them, right? Like there's nothing here and it's bad and everyone knows it's bad, but maybe you get some traction because it's the young up and comer Disney star that you give it to sing. I cannot even express how much I've hated this song since the first time I've heard it.
That gives me a thought, which is that if this was a junior song, how much more forgiving would you be towards it?
So much more forgiving, I think.
Yes, because this is for kids. This is...
Because like you could just see like three kids like, too epic to be true.
And then they dress...
And like just selling the hell out of it. And it's Kitty and Bobby, and then it's fine.
And they're doing it in a throwback way where like they're dressed up like their parents who are somehow our age. And
Oh, shut up.
I mean, that's the reality, though.
Like, I know.
I mean, because it works because this is a song that is for people whose like prefrontal cortex is not fully like
concealed.
You know, it's not yet formed. This is for smooth brained Eurovision fans.
Man.
Yeah, that's all I got.
The folks that like this are done with us. Let me tell you.
Yeah, watch us lose a couple followers. Yeah. What was that? Solid 25 minutes we just spent there?
Good. Yeah, you know, we are on a snail's pace right now.
Guys, guys, just as a heads up, I just got an email. It looks like that attempt to get sponsorship from Vanilla Ninja Ice Cream has officially fallen through.
Pictures I sent them?
Oh. That's the Haagen-Dazs.
Next step, Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ben and or Jerry, call us. Anyway, should we move over to, not Estonia's next door neighbor, but the next door neighbor?
Oh, God, let's take a ferry. Yeah, get us out of here.
All right. We hop over to Vilnius and Lithuania with Solo Quiero Más by Lion Cheka.
Solo Quiero Más.
That was Lion Cheka from Lithuania with Solo Quiero Más, or I Just Want More, but in Spanish, not Lithuanian. Real name of Lion Cheka is Tomas Alenčikas, who had taken part in national finals in Lithuania in 2019, 20, 23, and 25. Last year came in second place with the song Drobe. He's a singer, songwriter, drag artist as well, and took fourth place in X Factor Lithuania in 2017, and will be performing in the first semifinal in spot number 12. And I guess it's my turn to start us off. I'll just keep this rather simple. Every once in a while, an entry comes to Eurovision that is art, that is an art piece just as much as it is a song. And it is generally performed incredibly well, but there's always a moment of what the heck is going on here that hopefully people will be able to get over the what the heck is going on here in order to be able to actually appreciate the meat of the song. The first song that is coming to mind, or actually two of them are coming to mind for here. One is Skeletons, Dihaj, and the other one is Telemovesh, Conan Osiris. One qualified, one did not. Both kind of relied on the sort of mystery and the sort of presentation and the weirdness and aren't necessarily the easiest songs to get into the first time you hear them, but they are ridiculously intriguing. But it's always a crapshoot on whether that intrigue is enough for people to pick up the phone and vote for it if they're actually engaged by it. That being said, that's happened a little bit with Lithuania over the last couple of years, that they've sent songs that are high, you know, high art and quality and not necessarily playing towards the average Eurovision viewer, but it ends up doing all right. I mean, Tavouakis, if you had asked me before the semifinal, was that going to qualify? I would have said, probably not. I wanted to, probably not. And it made it through and had its absolute cult following. The same thing about, you know, Sentimente, you know, the slinky Lithuanian language jazz number. Nobody expected it to do as well as it did. And again, became a cult favorite. I could see that same through line happening with this. And I'm just... I'm really, really intrigued. I just want to make sure that it is accessible enough to let people in and let people let it become one of this year's cult favorites. Because I love seeing Lithuania do well because they make any grand final a better and more diverse program, you know. So come on, Lion. Rawr. Get it. Danny.
I will admit that on first blush, I thought that this was super pretentious. Because there's a part halfway through where it like shows us the words like, just like in an old movie, pain is what is the universal language. And I'm like, okay, all right. But it helps that we are examining this song right after Cyprus and Estonia. So it feels so what a breath of fresh air. Some man with an actual functioning brain creating a song. Yeah, it's artistic. It is not commercial. It's not going to be a hit. This is not a dance floor banger. It is its own thing, which I always appreciate from the Baltics. Yeah, what is our qualifying percentage rate on weird bald guys from the Baltics going through to the final?
Yeah, we got the aforementioned Dons.
We have Dons. We got the Roop. You know,
like, yeah,
it's approximately 112%.
Yeah, good. So
something might be wrong.
I have faith in this doing well amongst the more artistically inclined voting block, which is not insignificant, I feel, at Eurovision. I don't really feel enthusiastic about it. It just doesn't hit me in the way that I'm already blanking on the gorgeous ballad about the alcoholic father. That's so blunt.
That's it.
I feel much more about that one, which was just a little bit more direct and more emotionally grounded. This feels very intellectual. It has a spot, especially in a year that feels so devoid of anything that is stimulating the deep brain. It's good. I'll just say that, Derek.
I'm actually kind of conflicted on this one because I like the song itself. I think it's well performed. I think he's doing a lot of interesting things with the backing track and the vocals. But I find the presentation very distracting when he comes out with the silver makeup and the, well, at least in the live national final performance, the big suit that he then kind of gets out of and starts walking like a robot. And I'm just staring at it like this feels like one of those off Broadway shows in New York that are made fun of so often. I think with like the really artsy stuff, sometimes if I can't make a connection between that and the music, it just starts to feel gimmicky and it feels more distracting than anything else. Like it needs to somehow all work together as a coherent package. Otherwise, like, what are we doing? There's just too many questions and I'm not focusing on the song itself. And then suddenly the song is over and I'm just like, well, what was that? And I shouldn't be doing that. I should be focused on everything. It should all work together as one piece. I don't see this not qualifying. I see this doing just fine. Lithuania's had a pretty good run the last 6 or 7 years. So I have no reason to think that this would be the one that puts them over the edge, especially in a year like this where, you know, something like this is definitely going to stand out. People are going to remember it. But at the same time, I'm just like, I just feel scattered every time it comes on. I'm just like, I feel like my focus is kind of moving around and I'm just not paying attention to anything I should be, which is kind of a problem. Liz, right?
Yeah, it's me. So I think I agree, Derek, but kind of in the inverse, where I think I find the presentation of this more interesting than the song itself. The song itself didn't really grab me as I was watching it the first time. I couldn't really get past the, oh, he's silver aspect of the national final performance and presentation. But watching it the second time and then watching the music video version, I find myself a little bit more intrigued by the kind of the philosophy that the presentation seems to be buying into in, you know, what makes a human, what makes a robot, and how can we live more as humans and less like robots? Because I feel like, I don't know, this is maybe a Danny call out. Like it feels a little RUR, Rossum's mm-hmm. Universal Robots, thematically. At least in the music video, you know, you've got the kind of Art Deco font and you get, you know, the old movie bit from the center that they're talking about. Yeah. And then the video also at the beginning has this very brief little placard before the song itself starts that says it's like a dictionary definition of a human, noun, any living or extinct member of the family Hominidae, characterized by superior intelligence, articulate speech, and erect carriage, or two, adjective, having human form or attributes as opposed to those of animals or plants. And so thinking about that in this context, I'm like, okay. And then as I watch it again, I was like, okay, I see like how the national final presentation, where he's looking silver and wearing black, makes him look like he's part of a, you know, an old movie. Like he is in black and white, but with a little bit of sparkle. Like he's, there's something that's about to maybe burst forth or I don't know. So I don't know. That's my interpretation of what I'm watching there. Either way, I find that part at least interesting. How will they translate that? Like, will it be more like the national final? Will they do something totally different? I seem to recall we hearing some scuttlebutt that there's some interesting and creative staging in the hopper for this. But
yeah, supposedly the Lithuanians have said that they're bringing possibly their most ambitious staging to Eurovision ever, at least the most amount of props or like stagecraft, potentially involving a sort of kinetic sculpture.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
Is it going to be like very Fritz Lang?
It might. Honestly, I think like a Metropolis kind of vibe would work incredibly well with this. Of
I think that makes a lot more sense. Like
the nexus between the head and the hands is the heart, and that's all of that. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
intriguing really is kind of the word. I think you have 3 minutes to tell a story here, and I'll note, for better or worse, this is the same. They have the same staging director that Lithuania has used for the last 10 years. It's a Lithuanian guy. He also did I Don't Feel Hate.
Yeah. Which, but other than that, for what it was.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a song that jumps between languages a lot. And so how you tell that story is really important. Because no one's going to understand all of what you're saying. Most people will understand at least some of it. I dig at the end that he goes into French and Italian and German, Lithuanian, saying that "Solo quiero más," that is done in Spanish throughout the rest of the song. That title phrase is I don't know if there's a meaning to this, but I thought it was a little interesting that it's, again, the title phrase is the one thing that's never said in English. I don't know. The thing is so artsy, like that, like, could that be there's a meaning behind that decision? Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, it's really intriguing. Musically, I have a hard time coming up with anything to say about it, just because because it's an art piece. It's because there's so much more. It's about so much more than the song itself. It's about this artist, and yeah, if they've got some crazy ass staging, cool. Like, but I want to see this story be told. This is a very intriguing 3 minutes for sure.
We all said our piece then?
Yeah, let's talk about Vanilla Ninjas some more.
All right. Well, let's hop over to our next song then. And it is the winner of the Sanremo Festival this year, Italy's Sal da Vinci with Per Sempre Sì, Forever Yes. Let's hear a snippet. Saremo io e te per sempre legati per la vita che senza te non va. All right, that was Sal da Vinci with Per Sempre Sì, Forever Yes, representing Italy this year. 56 years old, born in New York, as his father was basically touring throughout the U.S. singing Neapolitan-style songs. It's songs in chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, of course.
Vanilla? That reminds me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And we're back. Anyway, Sal was raised in Naples and really kind of immerses himself in that sort of Neapolitan style of song. He started releasing music and appearing in films with his father from the age of 6 and has kind of been a mainstay on the scene ever since, kind of his career ebbing and flowing, more or less. He came in third place back in Sanremo in 2009 and last year appeared on Duets Night. And as the winner of Sanremo, he got the ticket to Eurovision and he is an automatic qualifier for the Saturday night. We, of course, do not know where in the final he will be. Danny, start us off. Class up the joint. Talk about some Italy.
This is very stupid. This is extremely stupid. This is Serhat singing Say Na Na Na, but it's just from Italy. This is built to be licensed for a commercial. Probably a medicine here in the States. I don't know, whatever they got over there, some kind of ice cream brand. Eric, don't. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. The biggest insult is that this is coming from Italy. This is, you know how I've said that, like, Il Volo is extremely overrated. This doesn't even have any aspirations to quality. It's so tiresome. This is, I hate the idea that Italy, who we always lament is the bridesmaid and never the bride at this contest, that they're always sending really good stuff, top half every single time. This is extremely lazy and stupid, and stupid and lazy and lazy and stupid. I'm tired. Derek, please. Derek, please.
Wow.
Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't hate it as much as you do, but maybe I've just been beaten down by Vanilla Ninja and Sir.
I know we've had to endure so much on this episode, and then to just have to do Italy too.
It's such a strange choice for Italy, because I feel like the stuff they tend to send is very modern, very artsy and interesting. And this is just kind of a throwback classic wedding disco song. We can get into a whole discussion about dated versus sort of timeless and nostalgic. And it doesn't feel dated at all, so I'll give it that. But it does feel very conservative, especially if you read the lyrics. It feels like a marriage in the 50s, a nice Italian wedding with all the grandparents and the brajol.
Don't make fun. That sounds like a great time. I mean,
yeah, what's somebody the problem
who grew up,
here?
As somebody who grew up in Jersey, that sounds amazing.
Don't get me wrong. And, you know, everyone is... All the women are named Marie, and this is Paulie, and this is his brother Paul. Well,
this is Gina Erasure, okay?
What about Tony and Tina?
Oh, Tony and Tina, on your wedding, yes.
I don't know what to say about this, but I feel like this is basically targeted at an older demographic. I feel like the kids are not going to get into this.
87-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, anyone under the age of, let's say, 35, they're not going to vote for this. But your parents, your grandparents, if they're watching with the family around the television, they'll vote for this. They'll love it. I think it's just right up their alley. And you know what? That's fine. If that's the kind of music they like, they want this old school, kind of classy Italian ballad about love and marriage and fidelity and monogamy and all that other crap. Boy, that got some looks.
We're all married here, come on.
I know. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I definitely feel like I'm not of this demographic. I'm not the person who likes this kind of thing. I see what he's doing. I think he's exceptionally good performer. Watching him live was much better than the studio version. I think he really hits the notes and gets those like really punchy parts out, and he's smiling and he's very charming. I could kind of see like they just wanted something kind of old fashioned and warm and safe. And that's what this is. And it's not what I expected from Italy. And, you know, I can't hold them accountable for that because they send quality every single year, but yeah, it is an odd choice and it's, you know, not up my alley. So I think this will do okay, but probably not their best result in a while. Liz.
Yeah, I concur on basically all of that. As a person who was relatively recently married, like I can get behind this the sentiment of, you know, forever you,
forever yes,
forever yes. And there's something sweet in that. But as a piece of music, it doesn't attract me really. It's fine. Like he just oozes charisma on stage. And I think that in and of itself will be a boon to it in the final. But this is not for me. And that's okay. There are people who this is for. I just can't get super excited. He sings it well. It's fine. Good luck to him. honey.
I actually quite like it. Bum, bum, bah. Here's the thing. As the person who you recently got married to, honey.
Yes.
I like the sentiment of it a lot. I think it's very sweet. And I think here's why I like it. I like it because it reminds me of Italy. And I love it. No, I'm serious. I love Italy. And shortly after we got married, where did we go? That's right. Yeah. Malta. But before that, we went to Italy.
But also Italy.
And I love Italy. I love being there. I love everything about, well, not everything about Italy. But, I love Italy. And this song reminds me of Italy. And so I like it. And it definitely hits the retro vibe for me more than the dated or whatever Vanilla Ninja is level of vibe. And that's really the difference, because like I hated that song, and that's evocative of an older time. But I guess I just really love Italy as a place, and the song feels very Italian. And when I hear it, I feel like I'm getting a carbonara somewhere.
I was just gonna say, in a
hole in the wall. After the first six places we looked at were all busy or closed or whatever, but this one was open till 11, and they had one of the best carbonaras we had on the whole trip. That's what this song reminds me of, and I will defend it for that.
Yeah, this is playing at Joey Meatball's Trattoria, something like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, there's something that's very classic about this, that when you, I mean, in the U.S., if you go into, like, an Italian red sauce joint, like, and I'm thinking of a very specific kind of Italian restaurant, like that I grew up in. Again, I grew up in the New York metropolitan area. New Jersey is a very big Italian.
New Jersey, Sam.
I know that. A lot of our listeners don't. But I grew up going to red sauce joints, which is a very specific kind of Italian restaurant, like a slightly waxy red and white tablecloth. You know, the
plastic cups.
Plastic cups.
Slightly problematic.
But so damn delicious. But there's always a, you know, on over the loudspeakers, there would be a mix of just Italian classics that would invariably have about five different versions of Volare and just a whole bunch of old, you know, canzoni italiani that was, you know, mostly Dean Martin, but still. And this would fit in perfectly with that. So the nostalgia that you're feeling for your recent Italian trip, I'm feeling for the 1990s era red sauce joint that I grew up with, that itself was probably a throwback to the 1950s red sauce eras that my parents grew up with. And the fact that this fits in perfectly with all of those is a credit to the song. And it's probably showing why Sanremo voters, who are literally like everybody in Italy, voted for this. You have to remember that Sanremo is a different beast than any other Eurovision national final, except for maybe Albania's. That it's a different beast, and so it's a different audience. And I don't know how Eurovision audiences are going to take to this. Then again, there have been people who have been watching Eurovision since the 60s and 70s who will be like, oh, this makes me happy. This reminds me of my youth and going to, you know, whatever the red sauce joint equivalent is where they're from. There's something sweet and throwback and unpretentious about this that I find very refreshing. Is it innovative? No. Does it push any envelopes? No. Is it inoffensive in any way? Not really, in the fact that it's so inoffensive. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing that pushes the envelope. I'm looking at the actual like final results from Sanremo, and I don't think you realize how close this was to not going. They do a five-song super final out of the 30 songs that show up. The top five songs, they have their original provisional rankings, then a second round of rankings with the radio jury, the press jury, and another televote. Sal did not come top spot with that second round of televoting. He came in second with that. He came in second with the radio jury, the second round. Fourth with the press jury. But because he was so strong in the original vote, he ended up taking the entire thing, but it was a shade away from this being a completely different song. And I'm still continuing to pour things out for Dita Nella Piaga Kefa Studio, which would have been a perfect Eurovision song. This is fun. It's nice. It's something for a demographic of people who don't necessarily have their whims catered to at Eurovision. I'm happy it's there. Is it Italy's best chance at a win? No. But it makes me smile, and it makes me want to go to an Italian red sauce joint and get a whole big bunch of meatballs.
You know who this is for? Is people named Sal.
Yes!
Yeah.
If your name is Salvatore, this is for you.
I just want to point
out, Salvador loves this.
literally, like Sal da Vinci, like over here in America, especially in the Midwest, that's a prime Italian restaurant name.
Oh,
come on down to Sal da Vinci's here in Minneapolis.
Get a slice.
Not good Italian. Yeah, you can get a big stupid pizza here. Stupid pizza at Sal da Vinci's.
It's red sauce joint. It's that vibe. You know the tablecloth I'm talking about.
You know
the plastic cups I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I really want Italian food. I really, really want Italian food, but as we're recording, we're still in the middle of Passover, so I'm wheat free basically, except for matzah right now, and I really want lasagna.
Sam looks concerningly angry.
There's gluten-free pasta,
this,
you know.
Is this?
No, it's not the same.
The thing where like, like my head turns into a lasagna because you're so hungry.
I don't know, but why is this manicotti talking at me?
Sam, move us along. Move us along.
Have we all said our piece then?
Indeed, we have.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm eating the cannoli right now.
Oh, God damn you. Anyway, okay, let's go to a country that has no knowledge of really good baked good. Oh, God damn it, it's France. Oh, all right. While I slowly try to excise the vision of croissants dancing in my head, let's listen to Regard by Monroe. All right, and that was a little bit of Regard, or Look, by Monroe, representing France. 17 years old, this year's youngest participant, born in Salt Lake City to an American father and a Congolese French mother. She was the winner of the French program Prodige last year, which gave her a contract with Warner Classics. And her first album, which is sort of a classical crossover vibe, was released in November. And like Italy before her, she's an automatic qualifier, so we don't know where in the running order she'll be, but she's going to be there on the Saturday night. So, Derek, what are your thoughts on the French song this year?
I have a lot to say about this, and I simultaneously have nothing to say about it. It's, I have to look at this as this is a 90s Miramax film vying for Best Picture.
Oh, you're so right. Oh.
It's
not even one that deserves it. It's not even Shakespeare in Love.
I think Shakespeare in Love deserved it. Anyway.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
I know. But it's because it's like it's doing all the things. It's like her performance is spectacular. Let's just get that off the table. She is a phenomenal talent. And she is pushing the boundaries of what she can do vocally. Maybe this is just going to max it out. Hopefully she doesn't screw it up, and I don't think she will, but dog, not her, the dog. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you see a performance, and even if you don't really like the song, you just kind of marvel at it. Like, people can do this. Christ, that is insane. On the one hand. On the other hand, the song itself is kind of fine. I don't, like, it's not a song I'd ever listen to again, and it puts it in this really weird position. And I can't talk about it without referencing The Code and Wasted Love, because it is, to quote Wayne Gretzky, or to paraphrase Wayne Gretzky, it's heading to where the puck is. It's not going where the puck is going. And I know that's a weird reference, but I'm just saying, if this is the third year in a row that a big vocal performance is going to kind of win over the jury and take the victory, I don't think that's going to happen three times. I feel like they should have done something a little different. And the weird thing is, The Code was, it wasn't just the operatic bits. There was a rap bit. There was a pop bit. It was like a full performance with all these genres and styles and ideas that all work together. It was all about finding an identity through music and through the lyrics and through the performance. I think it just kind of worked. And Wasted Love sort of feels like, yeah, it kind of did the same thing. It was a good performance, but yeah, I guess it wins. Okay, sure. is this gonna do it compared to some of the others? I worry that it's gonna end up like Maman, which everyone thought was gonna do super well and then just kind of didn't. But again, she is so good. I can just see this eating up all those jury points and the televote just kind of being fine. And honestly, that's enough to win the whole thing. Liz.
I agree. My first comment, I think, was specifically on the video, but it looks like she's in Paris, obviously, but she's like goes up to this podium and like presses a heart shaped button that looks like the Eurovision heart with the France flag in it. And I was like, oh, she pressed the Junior Eurovision button. Because that's what it looked like to me.
Pops another kid.
She's like, I am pressing my Junior Eurovision dream as an adult. But that's where the funny of this ends. I do like this. It's got a little bit of everything. You know where this is from. It's got the kind of chanteuse feeling with like a sweeping orchestral. I think you were kind of hitting on that, Derek, where you're mentioning Wasted Love and Parts of the Code. Her coloratura soprano is just impeccable, like unimpeachable vocals. I don't know if any of you have gotten a chance to watch the first live version that they put out. Holy cow, I've got no questions about her ability to perform this live. It's so good. She is so good. When you watch her perform, she sparkles. Like, not literally, but like...
She's a vampire?
No, oh. No. Not in the same way the Lithuania guy sparkles. This is different. No, it's just... She is a born performer. You can see it. She's really good at what she does. And at 17, that is really, really remarkable. She has the chops for this. Like you said, Derek, this is going to be a jury darling. It's going to eat up just a ton of points there. If this won, I would be neither surprised nor mad.
I feel like this is a thing I should know, but I just don't. Who was the youngest Eurovision winner ever?
Sandra Kim. Okay. Gemma Levy.
Oh yeah, and she was quite.
She was young enough that no winner can be that young again.
Right.
And okay. She also supposedly kind of lied about her age at the time too. So yeah, it's not
good. Yeah. I'll start by just I have apprehensions about any Eurovision performer this young, for a number of reasons, and I know, but. And like sometimes it works out great, but for every Chris Kostov, there is, you know,
is that that Greek kid from was it Greek?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Theodore Andre.
Yeah.
No.
The one in the safari suit.
Yeah.
Can't remember his
name. What they say?
Yeah.
Victor Vernikos.
Yes.
Victor Vernikos. Yeah.
Yeah. And just it's.
But the thing was, he looked like he was 30.
He did. Yeah. I was not convinced that this could win until I saw that live performance. And now I'm very convinced it can win. I mean, the jury is going to eat it up. I think the televote, I think France needs to do more than they've done the last few years of quote unquote going for it. And one of the things I liked about the live video is that she had dancers behind her, that there was some movement to it, that, you know, Slimane and Maman and so on didn't have as much of, or I Sing the Big France Lady. That was literally unable to move because she was the 50-foot woman. And I think this has an opportunity to be more visually interesting than the songs France has sent the last couple of years. I had not really considered Derek, I think you're absolutely right about the there's sort of a through line from the Code to Wasted Love to this, and in terms of vocal ambition and so forth. And that makes me wonder, are we going to do this 3 years in a row? Is that where we're at? Is this 2003 to 2005, but with opera? Like, I don't know, but it's really good. Holy cow. I'm very impressed. I hope she does well. I hope she has people around her that, I mean, I hope this for every artist, but particularly for an artist that young, I hope that the support system is very good, and I wish her the best. I think it's spectacular. And we'll see what happens.
It's strange for me. I feel like there's, I really like what Derek said before, the Wayne Gretzky quote about, you know, going to where the puck is rather than where it's going. And I feel like France is building on three separate things that have been successful. One, the opera vibe that has been, you know, so great for these last two winners. Two, the success of a song, like this big emotional solo female singer, like a chanson style that we saw with Barbara Pravi. And three, France's recent massive success at Junior Eurovision. So I feel like they've taken these three incredibly successful formulas and chucked them into a blender and are hoping that that slurry is what brings them success.
Slurry.
That's good. Slurry.
Good. Love a slurry. I mean, this is not bad by any stretch, but I feel like I can see the machinations and I can see the tactics, and I just want to see the song and hear the song. But you could tell more. I mean, we've said for the last couple of years, France is going for it. And now you can see like how France is going for it and how hard they are going for it. So beyond the sort of inside baseball of it, her vocals are insane. Again, 17 years old, for God's sakes. It is absolutely wild to me that, I mean, anybody's voice like that at any age is crazy. But again, somebody who is still basically in high school is wild to me. The control, not just over the vocals themselves, but there have been times that we've seen sopranos that have come to a Eurovision stage, and when they hit those high notes, they sort of lose control of their face a little bit. My brain goes right to Malena Erdman, Levois, who famously, when she hit those high notes, her face, you know, she hit the high notes in a way that an opera singer can, in a way that made her face kind of contort a little bit, and it's kind of terrifying. And Monroe doesn't do that, and I appreciate that, because she's able to control the voice and also control the way that she's coming across on camera, which, again, for a young artist, is impressive. If this song wins, I'll understand why. I won't be happy about it, though.
Why not?
Because, like I said, I like it when something pushes the envelope. And I don't like seeing three songs with a similar through line win in a row. I'll understand why. But I am fickle and I want something new. However, I am one voter. I'm not on any juries. And Eurovision should not be catering to me. I wasn't a massive fan of Wasted Love. And we're heading to Austria this year. So it is what it is. My personal opinion doesn't affect this. If she wins, I will understand why, and I will be happy to see Eurovision return to France after so damn long. Danny?
So my first Eurovision with this context, France sent Madame Monsieur with Merci.
Oh, so good.
And ever since then, France has decided that they're just going to send one person singing a song who's French is basically second year level that everyone across Europe can understand if they just have their LaRousse translating book out in their lap at the same time. It is annoying and transparently Timothy Chalamet style going for the Oscar of France to send something like this specifically to get on my nerves. I know that they're doing this just because I hate this shit, and they're just doing this to annoy me and make my brain swell inside of my skull. I hate that they just keep sending Voila Redux. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that they keep doing it. It's so obvious that they thought they got so close with Barbara Pravi, and instead of selecting or allowing someone else to rise to the top or sending a band or something that sounds modern in any way, they are just trying to min-max their odds. They are just trying to play the Eurovision game, and I hate it, and it's stupid. They are jumping on that stupid opera bandwagon, and I don't think it sounds anywhere near as good as the past two winners have. And I hate that in the last third of this song, they basically go, oh, what's the most popular French thing right now? It's Claire Obscure Expedition 33. Why don't we just turn the song into JRPG Final Boss music? It's stupid. Sam, take us to Georgia. My God.
We all said our piece on France, and I think we're ready to move
yes.
on. Okay.
What? Week four, where we really got some just not just stinkers, but real crimes, real offensive junk here to me.
I feel like if this is any listener's first episode of this show, they've got to be wondering, oh my God, this guy just hates everything.
Promise. Listen to last week. I did like things.
Yeah.
It's not that he hates the songs. It's just that he loves hating the songs.
It's a particular relish.
Just like in Mommy Dearest. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt.
No more wire hangers. Ever.
Sam.
Shall we? We've been. Yes. I feel like we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this for years.
I feel like this show's about to be 7 years old, and we've spent most of it waiting for this moment.
Let's talk about Biscavi, y'all. Yay. Here's Georgia. All right. Those were the dulcet tones of Biscavi from Georgia with their song On Replay. As any longtime listener of our podcast will know, Biscavi are icons in our eyes. They were the Junior Eurovision winners from 2008 with the song Bzzz. Can we just play a little snippet of Bzzz?
Always.
So yeah, so that is Biscavi, the 2008 vintage. They are now the fourth Junior Eurovision champions to graduate to the big show after Russia's Tolmachevi twins, Destiny from Malta, and Iru, also from Georgia. Biscavi are Georgi Shialashvili, Mariam Kikuashvili, and Mariam Tatulashvili, and they are all 28 years old now. They are all grown up. The song was written by Giga Kukianidze, who's basically written almost every Georgian Junior Eurovision song, almost ever.
Including Biz.
Mm-hmm. Lyrics by Lizzie Japaridze, also known as Lizzie Pop, who represented Georgia at Junior in 2014 and also co-hosted it in 2017. This is semifinal one, spot number six. Liz, take us home.
Oh, our little bees are all grown up now.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm certainly not the first or the last to say that I'm excited that Biscavi here again, or here for the first time, but on an Eurovision stage. Here's the thing about this. It's very precise in the studio version and its execution. The video looks gorgeous. It's very, very danceable. Not a lot of substance here. I think I'm okay with that. But I don't know that we have a good feeling of really what this is going to look like on stage, because we don't have, you know, we obviously don't know what the staging is going to look like. We know that they're great performers. They've been great performers since they were knee high to a bumblebee. But we've seen them perform as recently as live at JESC with a different song. We know they've still got it. So I can't imagine this is going to be bad, but I guess I just don't know what we're going to get on stage. I'm curious for it. I'm excited for it. The song isn't groundbreaking, but it's fun. It's catchy. It gets stuck in your head. That little la 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 la. Like that's great. Sure. I'm here for this. I like it.
Yeah. If there's one thing that Biscavi is known for, it's singing the same syllable repeatedly. And this song does do that. And it's fun. It's really fun. I think that la 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 bit is, it feels very TikTok. The dance that goes with it feels very TikTok. There isn't a lot of that this year that I think has the potential to tap into that sort of virality. And I think that's great. One of the things, we've talked about this a little bit before because we can't help ourselves, but talk about Biscavi all the time. One of the things that I think really made Biz a really cool, unironically fun thing is how they harmonized. Because the harmonies in that song, like, it weird as it is are incredible. And there isn't a lot of that in On Replay. And that bums me out a little bit. But at the same time, it doesn't really need it. Like this song isn't about that. It's not really about anything. It is not particularly lyrically adventurous or artistic or whatever. And it's not trying to be. It's just trying to be fun. And it is. And it is so cool to me that these little bee kids are at the big show. We joked at the end of Junior, like, that song was cool. They should just send that. Like, George, if you've got an act here, and we're really super serious or thinking that they would actually consider something like that. And then they did. They were like, yeah, you know what? We just realized who our best musical export is, and we are going to roll with them this year. And I'm so glad they did. I don't have super high hopes for it in terms of results. I think it should be able to get out of semi one. But beyond that, I don't know. Georgia has a hard time getting to the final sometimes, so who knows? But this is super fun, and it's Biscebi. They're back, baby. Sam, what do you think?
Again, thrilled to see them back. Their song that they kind of soft launched their reunion, I guess, at Junior, We Don't Sleep, was really very cool. And when they unveiled On Replay, I'm like, all right, this is fun. The lyrics are completely nonsensical. Not as bad as Echo, but a little bit disjointed. But that's fine. This song isn't meant to be a deep artistic piece. This isn't Lithuania here. This is a fun, upbeat, danceable earworm. It's interesting when they, every single time that we've seen Biscebi doing, you know, promotional stuff at Junior Eurovisions, little reunions here and there, there's always that motif of the yellow and the black, the buzz, you know, the really kind of leaning into the bee imagery. And I was wondering, are they going to continue to do that? And obviously visually they're not, you know, their palette is completely different, but I really appreciate the fact that On Replay still has the imagery sonically of the sort of frenetic buzz of a hive, that sort of high energy vibration kind of a vibe. And it is evocative of that kind of buzz, even if it's not a direct through line. It's this nice subtle cue that I feel like I'm picking up on.
It's a great song to waggle dance to,
perhaps. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I have to show you, all right, where the nearest wildflower field is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Massive waggle dance is going to have to happen at the Euro Club this year. So like make that happen. Just bring your EpiPens. The one thing that I will say that I wish they had done a little bit differently is, so like I said, the group is Georgi Shirlashvili, Mariam Kikuashvili, and the other Mariam Tatulashvili. And in all of the imagery, it's really hard to disambiguate between the two Mariams. I mean, these are two young singers, same age, both brunettes. They're being styled very similarly. And I wish the video would be able to focus on one or the other a little bit more individually so we can see a bit more of their individual personalities. Because sometimes it comes up as Georgie and two female backing singers. And I would love to see Mariam K and Mariam T have a bit more differentiation and spotlight. Because all three of them are super talented. And again, they have been since we've seen them grow up. And I want to see each one of them shine because they're all super talented. Again, we're not going to Georgia next year for big Eurovision. Most likely not. I'm happy to eat my words. But this is fun. And I'm so happy to see, again, this through line between Junior and the big show. Danny?
How ironic, because when I first heard this, I went, you know, does Georgia have a chance this year? I think that this song is very forward. I don't think that this song is like the code forward, but I appreciate that this song isn't sort of like resting on some old tradition of Eurovision laurels. I appreciate that this song is very aggressive. I appreciate that this song, that it's it doesn't have a chord structure that you expect, especially in the chorus. When it hits that sort of like descending chromatic stuff, like the dissonances that they hit, that is getting stuck in every single Eurovision watcher's head, without a doubt. like, I don't care if the lyrics are a little bit, I think saying brainless is a little too harsh. I just think that in this genre of song, to introduce anything that is super poetic or has a quite a deep meaning would just be a little bit wasted here. Because this is a song that's kind of about mood and about, it is about posturing. I think that if staged correctly, there's the potential for badass dude is off the charts. I like the way that they are styled in the video. I like the way that they are presented. I like the way that it is obvious that they are not children anymore, that they are ready to be grown up pop stars in a very adult way that doesn't feel fake, that doesn't feel like playing pretend. It feels like they have been doing this for the past 10 years. I think that if every country decided that they wanted to create the kind of pop music that people 20 years ago thought that we would be listening to in 2026, I think that we would all be better served. This gives me, it gives me Ferto vibes. I think that they are very much together in terms of being forward thinking about pop music for this contest, and about their quality, and that's it. I really love this.
Closing out the show today is Derek with his thoughts on Georgia. Our story begins in a small village in Georgia.
Hi.
A man named Georgie steps
out. Can I also add something? Georgia has historically sent us kind of just the junk, very predictable in terms of quality. I think this is the best stuff that they've sent in recent memory.
They've only qualified once in the last decade.
It's quite sad.
They came last twice in that period too, I should point out. Kind of looking at their history, there was a period of time when they were doing exceptionally well. And then something happened in 2011 where they, I don't know, after 2011, they came ninth. And then after that, it all just sort of fell apart. I don't know what decision was made in that time or if they pissed everybody off. One thing I can say consistently is they send weird stuff, like really weird. And I kind of want to say it's not just modern, it's ultra modern. It's pushing boundaries in a way that sometimes creates some spectacular failures. But looking back on it all, it's hard to say that, well, they aren't doing something. I thought last year's song was probably like their most down the middle entry in a long time. And I'm just going to say it. I know she's problematic. I thought her vocal performance was really, really good. And the dancers were really cool. I think that whole package kind of worked in a weird way. It just had some baggage, unfortunately. I think this is the best thing they've sent in a long time. It is exceptionally weird, though. Like, it's challenging without being off-putting. Like, the first time I listened to it, I dropped what I was doing and I like focused on it. And that's the kind of music you should be sending to this. If you're sitting at home and you're watching the TV and a song comes on out of 26 or however many songs, and they all kind of follow a predictable structure and pattern and all that stuff, you want to send something that's going to make you just a little unsure of what you're hearing. So you got to focus a little bit more on it and it gets your attention. I know lyrically it's not like Shakespeare, but
no, it's not. It's not.
The music and the vocal work, I think.
It's a dance song. It's a dance song.
It is a dance song.
That's not,
but it's not.
The lyrics kind of aren't
like anything you've ever heard before.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint, too, I'll agree with Sam. I feel like it's Georgie plus two. It feels kind of like it. And one of the Miriams, I can't distinguish them, has a bit of a solo near the end. I feel like the other one isn't really doing anything. I feel like one of the Miriams is just kind of tagging along. And I wonder what the decision-making process was in that, where it's like, okay, Georgie, you're going to get like 80% of the music, and Miriam, you're going to get 15%, and other Miriam, you're going to get like 2. I'm like, no, they're a package deal. They should all be singing. Like, especially at least during the chorus, it should be like harmonized. And that's missing is upsetting to me because that's sort of what they're known for. Mm-hmm. And I again, I have to review the song I have, not the song I wish I had, but that is something that kind of sticks out to me. I think this is exceptionally cool. I'm glad they're in the first semi. I think they have a real shot at qualifying. I think they deserve it.
Where are they, by the way? Who are they sandwiched between?
They are immediately after Portugal.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
And then they will be before Italy.
Yep, they're so fine.
So that's a sawtooth right there.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
Was curious if we knew stage directors for this, and we do. There are two people listed. One of them staged Firefighter,
Firefighter.
And the other one staged Party for Everybody.
Which, that's kind of legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, oh man. Biscabby.
Cannot wait to see how this
that's
turns
all
out.
All they've done, too. I was like, oh no, they must have done other songs. No, just those two.
Yeah. Have we all said our piece on Georgia then?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing I'll add is that the dynamic between the three of them, it's going to be really important that they have chemistry on stage. We've seen them perform recently because they were a junior last year, and I don't remember thinking like, wow, these three hate each other or right. anything like that, but it's got to stay that way.
They're not going to be Vibe out there, but who can,
No.
They're not going to be Oasis out there.
Imagine if they just start shoving
Lamar
each other.
The Mariams are fighting.
What was that San Remo song where a guy just started doing a diss track? It was...
Oh God! Bugo and Morgan and Bugo. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they broke up mid song.
They just walked off.
Dove Bugo?
All right.
All right.
Let's wrap.
All right.
It up.
Let's end this in our traditional way. Let's start with the lows and end with the highs. Everybody, what was your least favorite song of the episode? Again, we had Cyprus, Estonia, Lithuania, Italy, France, and Georgia. Liz, let's start with you.
Oh, it's Estonia by a mile.
Eric?
Estonia forever till the end of time.
Yeah, same for me. Estonia, what they could have had.
I'm going to go with Estonia too, just because I think Danny's going to say something different.
I have so many to pick from this week. If only because I think I can endure all of them equally, I'm just going to say Estonia as well.
All right.
But let me tell you, Italy is on thin ice.
I know somebody who's not going to be invited over to Sal Da Vinci's Red Sauce joint.
No, Sally Da Vinci.
Sally Da Vinci. Anyway, and let's end it on our high note, as we always do. Liz, what was your favorite of the week?
It's France.
It feels like I should pick France, but I'm going to say Georgia.
And I'm kind of flipping back and forth between two of them, and it's not the two that I was expecting. But I can't decide right now if it's Georgia or Lithuania. So I'm going to say Lithuania just to spread things out a little bit. Danny.
Couldn't be France. France sucks. France blows big chunks. It's Georgia.
Derek,
it's France
home.
For me.
Jesus Christ.
Only
you,
because of the performance.
You poo-poo the Swedish hit machine and then you fall for the sucker shit coming out of Paris.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to have to call this episode an end before we get into an actual fist fight. Again, you at home, thank you so much for joining us and listening. You can find us on all the standard and some standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Find our merchandise on Redbubble. Support us with a one-off donation on our coffee account or a sustained monthly donation on Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you anyway, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content, early access to episodes, and other little goodies, like we just did our rundown and reaction to The Running Order. That's up on Patreon. Also, as a friendly bit of news, listeners, I believe around the world, if you wish to, Eric and I just recorded a four-hour morning show over at our friends, the fine folks over at KMSU Radio in Mankato. That is going to be airing on May 5th. And if I'm not mistaken, I do believe you can stream KMSU Radio.
Yes, you can. You sure can.
Globally.
KMSU.org. And to check that out, it'll be available in podcast form for a short period after that too, if you can't tune in live. It's a morning show here, which means it's like a mid-afternoon show for all y'all.
Yep, but that'll be airing on Tuesday, May 5th, bright and early in the morning, Minnesota time. So whatever time zone you're in, do the math. Anyway, we will be back with our next episode next week. We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next time. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Liz.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Fist fights for the Patreon.
Bare knuckle boxing just for the subscribers.
God.